हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण
जय श्री कृष्ण। कन्या बभूल प्यानंदा श्रेयद्वैत जगधर शिव सदि सो भक्तवृंदा
Thank you.
ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం మిత్రిలా ప్రవిష్టో విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామ కుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌరవ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నవిశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురుణ్మిలీతం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం సావితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం పూర్వదాందిగం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుగాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తత్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం భావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్రం యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతడాజయద్రతజల గాంధారనీలోత్పలా శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామాపి కర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవా പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവേ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസ്തുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. We stopped last Sunday from 13th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to Arjuna about the position of the super soul. What's the present condition with the relationship between the jiva or the living entity and the super soul? Living entity and super soul are always together. They go together. And super soul is the witness of our activities. Krishna is the witness of our activities. And the Krishna's closest relationship, in other words, he is closest to us in the super soul form, not even in the deity form. He is closest to us in the super soul form. And in the Bhagavad Gita, when we go through this 13th chapter, you will find a lot of reference to the super soul in different situations. Krishna generally referred to Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna means basically in the third verse, Krishna has explained that. Also, if you look at the 13th chapter itself, in the third verse, Krishna mentioned that Kshetrajnam Jabimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Krishna says there in the third verse. Kshetrajnam Jabimam Vidhi Sarvatra Kshetreshu Bharata. Kshetra Kshetrajnayor Jnanam Yatal Jnanam Matam Mama. Translation, O son of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its owner is called knowledge. That's my opinion. Krishna says that. So, while discussing the subject in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, while discussing the subject of this body and the owner of the body, and referring to the owner of the body, Krishna says the soul and the super soul. So the soul and the super soul, they are always together. The jiva, the living entity, is a part and parcel of Krishna. And super soul is a witness to all our activities in this world. And Srila Prabhupada explains later on, you will see there, that Krishna says that to understand both the soul and the super soul as one, yet distinct, is knowledge. Srila Prabhupada says that to understand both the soul and the super soul as one, yet distinct, is knowledge. So this relationship between the soul and the super soul is a very difficult one for most of the people to understand, because in different acharyas have brought this out in little different ways according to their vision and their philosophical position. But devotees normally will always recognize this fact that the living entity is a servant of Krishna. Living entity is never Krishna. Living entity is always a servant of Krishna. And that servant relationship is that between the super soul and the jiva. Between the super soul and the jiva. It is the master-servant relationship. And when we act in this world according to the desire of Krishna, which is explained in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then our activities are pleasing for Krishna. But when our activities are not pleasing for Krishna, then there will be conflict inside. There will be conflict inside. And that conflict can develop into different kinds of problems. That is why Krishna is warning us in advance. Upadreshta anumanta cha karta bhorta maheshwara. And paramatmeni jap yukto deherismin purusha paraha. That upadreshta, he is upadreshta. And he is anumanta. And he is also bharta and bhokta. So in all conditions, Krishna is there witnessing our activities. Our relationship with Krishna is very important to keep this in mind. We discussed that verse last Sunday. We'll go on to the next one. Ya evam veti purusham prakritim jagunai saha sarvadha vartamano bi nasabhuyo vijayate. Krishna says that, that is verse 24. Ya evam veti purusham prakritim jagunai saha sarvadha vartamano bi nasabhuyo vijayate. Krishna says evam purusham with gunai saha, with all the gunas, with prakritim cha ya veti, and who understands the prakriti also. When one understands Purusha with all the gunas and the prakriti, sa sarvadha vartamano bhi bhuya na abhijayate. Krishna says, under all circumstances, he is, whatever transactions he does in this world, he is not affected by that. Just see, Krishna is not insisting that only if you live in this temple or live in a secluded place, you are advancing spiritually. No, there is no statement like that. Krishna says, as long as you understand this relationship of Purusha, Prakriti, evam Purusham gunai saha, Prakritim cha yaveti, ya sa sarvatha vartamano bi bhuya na abhijayate. And that relationship means that even in the present conditions, in the current conditions, in whatever situation one is placed at, in whatever transactions he is involved, as long as he understands this, that he understands the Kshetrajna, which is the Purusha, and he understands the Prakriti, material nature, and the Guna, three modes of material nature, and the Jiva, the living entity, then he is considered to be that whatever transactions he carries out in this, that will not have any effect on him. That's what Krishna is saying here. That in this particular verse, that Krishna is actually concluding this chapter. He's concluding this chapter. Why? Because from now on, what you will notice there is that once you have understood this relationship in Prakriti and Purusha, within Prakriti and Purusha, how the bondages happen to us, because of this relationship between Prakriti and Purusha, the bondage has developed within us. And the result of that, we became wiser, vivekam, or discrimination has happened in us. When one reflects on these verses, what we have spoken so far, that will give us an understanding why we experience material happiness, material distress, and so many other different modes of nature, how it controls us, everything. But once you have understood that, and then Krishna says he can, naturally, if he acts with that realization, then in due course, he will get out of his ignorance and he will go back to the spiritual world. And he will be qualified for liberation. That's what Krishna is saying there. That ya evam veti purusham prakritim jagunai saha sarvadha vartamano bhi nasabhuyo vijayate. That even if he is sarvadha vartamano bhi, vartamano means the present time. Even if he engages in any kind of transaction, it will not affect him because he is clear in his mind what his relationship is. So after spoken this verse, now in a very, very important verse, in the next verse, Krishna is saying the practicality of Bhagavad Gita. The practicality of Bhagavad Gita. How Bhagavad Gita has been accepted by great souls and how they have moved forward in their spiritual life with Bhagavad Gita. That is what is the next verse. As I mentioned before, this last verse is giving us an indication of our relationship with the Super Soul. And if we do not act with this understanding in the Bhagavad Gita, then we are inviting difficulties for ourselves. Krishna says there. We are inviting difficulties for ourselves. And that can develop into serious problems later. So therefore, from time immemorial, great sages and the great authorities on the spiritual subject And also, all the great acharyas have instructed the human society to take this call very seriously from inside, not to forget it. But due to our own ignorance and also lack of spiritual education and spiritual understanding, in due course people have forgotten that. Now only you say, when you go to the, even when you take an oath in the court, you immediately say, touching here. Why do you touch here? Because the presence of the Super Soul is recognized even there, although unknowingly. We say, I agree, or I take oath on the behalf of Bhagavad Gita or Bible or whatever scripture. But that touching here itself is an indication of accepting that there is someone else inside there, accepting whose authority we are accepting. Otherwise, what is this I here? We are touching it, pointing out to us. But we'll come to that later. The main point here is that this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita has been taken over by many personalities, and they have gone through that process in their lifetimes, and they have realized it, and that is what is explained in the next verse. Dhyanena alpani pashyandi, kejida alpanam alpana, anye sanghena yogena, karma yogena chaparem. Krishna says, dhyanena alpani pashyandi, that some people, Krishna says, by meditation they have realized. Dhyanen almani pashyandi. By meditation alone they have realized, Krishna says. And they know their identity through meditation process of meditation. Then, kechid alpanam alpana. Some people through other processes. What is that? Earlier also we have discussed. Uddhaned alpana alpanam, alpanam avasadayel, alpanyev alpano bandhu, almayev avirir alpana. So, alpanam alpana, Krishna says, kejida alpanam alpana, that some people see Krishna in their heart by their mind, which is purified, by their purified mind, by purified consciousness, in other words. By purified consciousness, they realize Krishna. Anye sankhena yogena, karma yogena chaparem. Some other people, they follow the process of sankhyam. Sankhyam means the analytical process. Sankhya means vicharam, thoughtful process of thinking, through analytical process. We have discussed that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called Sankhya Yogam. So in Sankhya Yogam, we have discussed this, what is the nature of a person who is following that process. Siddha Prajna, we have seen that. Siddha Prajna, and Siddha Prajna's realizations, and we have given the examples, who are the Siddha Prajnas. There's a few examples in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna was referring to, like Vidura, Kunti Devi, Bhishma Vidamaha, Vyadavyasa Maharshi, and so on. So many great souls, they also had this understanding coming from the Sankhya Yogam process. They have realized the importance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So some other people, Krishna says, through Karma Yogam process, they also come to know about they realize the self. So this verse, why it's so important, is that Krishna has said here three different processes, isn't it? Dhyanena alpani pashyandi, kejid alpanam alpana, anye sanghena yogena, karma yogena chapare. Then when the dhyanam or meditation becomes strong, automatically that the their concentration or their mind gets very focused and fixed up in the spiritual process. Once meditation becomes very strong, automatically the mind's absorption of the mind gets deeper absorption of the mind, and that can go on for hours together sometime in the beginning, early stages. But later on, when he advances, it becomes a practice with him, and then it will continue to exist throughout the life. It will not go away from him. So, dhyanam, sanghyam and karmam, three processes are discussed in this verse. And Krishna is saying here, Krishna also mentions there, dhyane anye sanghena yogena karma yogena chapare, that these three processes, they will realize Krishna somehow. That's the question. Krishna is not saying limiting to one thing, but Krishna is saying all these options are there, and people have taken to all these processes at different times in the history. Another important thing, what Krishna is mentioning here is this, that after this realization, Krishna's realization of the our spiritual identity as the soul, we will come to know that what is known as anandam. Anandam means blissful state of consciousness, blissful experience of whatever real identity is. In the earlier chapter we have seen that yogis realize in one way. Yogis go through the process of understanding annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. Like that processes they have. The different sheets which is surrounding the soul. So from annamayam they move on to pranamayam, then to manomayam, vijnanamayam and anandamayam. Anandamayam is the most blissful state of the consciousness, where it sees the presence identity with the spirit soul. So spiritual identity, aham brahmasmi stage, comes to that. So in different conditions, the living entity experiences different things. In jagrat he has one experience, in dream he has another experience, in sushupti he has another experience. But when it comes to pure happiness, which is the eternal blissful and knowledge state, Sachidanandam state, which is the state where he does not have to fall back into this illusory existence. In other words, he has transcended the three modes of nature. That is what he is referring to here. So once he has come to that state, then it is only possible to get there with Krishna's help. There is no other way one can get there. That is why the Krishna is saying here that we have certain false understanding in life. We are thinking that the problem is all outside, isn't it? Our problem thinking is most of the people, 99.9% people in this world think that the whole problem is outside me. The world is not correct. There is something wrong with this world. We think like that. And because we have this understanding, we continue to work hard to change this world. Everyone is engaged in this. The scientists, the politicians, the economists and the whoever you refer to, everybody is thinking that changing this world is necessary in order that we become happy, isn't it? That is our understanding. This is where Krishna comes in and tells us it's all wrong. Completely wrong. Because here in this verse Krishna is saying to us that your main problem is not any of these things. The main problem is that you have turned your back to the soul. Instead of looking towards the soul, you have turned back and started looking outside. That's where the problem has started. Krishna is saying there. In this verse, that is what is coming out from that. Instead of turning inwards and looking at the soul and seeing our identity as the soul, we have gone away from there and went outside and started looking for the solution. As far as Krishna is concerned, nothing is a problem in this world. No material knowledge is not going to solve the problem. Krishna says, we think that science is a problem. The science is causing all the problem. Politics is causing the problem. Or all the other crazy things, whatever that is going on in this world, we think that's all the problem. Krishna says, that is not the problem. Problem is that you have turned your back towards the soul. Your view has changed because there is a crisis in the personality at the moment, because our true identity is spirit soul. We are spirit soul. And that identity we have given up. And we have taken a wrong identity. And in that wrong identity, with the wrong understanding, we are trying to find happiness by adjusting various things in this world. Krishna says that is where the whole problem is. You see how much importance Krishna is giving for self-realization, to realize one's own self. So to look inwards and realizing the self, Krishna says, is the first priority in life. One who is not doing that, Krishna says, is committing suicide. He has committed suicide. As far as Krishna is concerned, so long as one is not looking inwards and trying to understand his relationship as spirit soul and the spirit soul's relationship with Krishna, he has actually wasted his life in this world. This is what Krishna is pointing out here. Dhyanena almani pashyandi, kejidalpana. Dhyanena almani pashyandi, kejidalpanam almana. Anye sankhena yogena, karma yogena chaparem. So all the different darshanams or different philosophies
is pointing out to only this one thing, to realize the self, to realize what we are. Krishna is saying, without knowing what you are, what adjustments are you trying to make, any other philanthropic activities, even opening schools, opening hospitals, all these things is not our problem. Our main problem is how to come back to us, our true identity. That is the challenge before us. Not schools, not hospitals, not other philanthropy. They are supplementary activities in order to engage our karma into something which is more beneficial to the society. Therefore those things have come. That is not the goal of life. The goal of life is trying to realize our pure identity as spirit soul. What are we? That is our first question in front of us. The main challenge before us. That's what Krishna is saying here. That so long as you turn your back towards your spiritual identity as spirit soul, forgetting that, completely acting on a material level and material platform and trying to adjust things and trying to improve things in this world will never ever bring happiness to the society. So there itself Krishna has cut through our ignorance completely. There Krishna is pointing this, and this is the one fact which from time immemorial all the great authorities in Vedic culture has stressed upon. They have stressed upon this one point. They did not discuss any other, whether it is Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You don't see anywhere they discussing about opening hospitals or schools or this or that. No, that is not the problem. Problem is this, that we have turned our back towards the soul and then we are making big propaganda in this world how to change the conditions. So Krishna is saying here, the first and foremost point to understand is this, that we try to understand what we are and the process of self-realization. And therefore, in order to, one who is advancing in that direction, Krishna calls him as the one who is properly situated. Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavande manushyamarthakam anityam apiha dhirah. In the Bhagavatam, while instructing Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, very last minute, while leaving this world, Krishna had only one thing to say to Uddhava. Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavande. This human body I have given for this purpose, for not for opening this and opening that, but for understanding himself. If he is not going in that direction, Krishna says, Manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhirah. That he has wasted his life. As far as Krishna is concerned, that this temporary life, he says, this temporary life what he has gone, turnam padejyate anumrtiyavalni shreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. Before it drops off, Krishna says, if you have made it, you have done it, then you are out of it. Once for all, you have gone back home, back to spiritual, you have realized it. And then you don't have to come back and worry about hospitals and schools after that. Otherwise, you can carry on with this. Actually, really advanced spiritual personalities would not think about such things. Their process is to take us back to Krishna, to realize our identity, what we are, and our relationship with Krishna. That is the only answer to this question. There is no other. And so long as we are not in that process, we are in the wrong direction. We are moving in the wrong way. This is one we have to remember. And all spiritual institutions are directly meant for this purpose. This is the goal. Not only now, in time immemorial, the nature of the people is always different. It was in Krishna's time, it was like that. In Ramchandra's time, it was like that. In Prabhupada's time also was not much different. So throughout history, if you look at people's habits and nature, you will find that normally they will come to, spiritual life. When they see some great personality, they will follow him for some time. So long as he is there to guide them, they will follow him seriously. They won't take much interest to know what is written in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. They will say, oh, we don't have so much time for all that. All I can do, as Prabhupada is saying something, he must be right. So whatever he says, we'll do it. But then the difficulty is that when Prabhupada leaves, then there is crisis. Then you don't know where to go, which direction. So long as he was instructing people what to do, they followed him. But when he leaves, he has always told us that main purpose of any institution, especially Krishna consciousness movement, is to educate people in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the topmost purpose of this institution. Because Prabhupada, as well as the previous acharyas, all believed that this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is very much badly needed by the human society. Not only they believe, they found that this is the only one that can solve from their problems and their madness. So in order to help the human society, they brought this most precious thing from the transcendental literature, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and he wanted us people to study this, reflect on it and discuss it and find their way of bringing that into their own individual lives. But instead of we get deviated, because often when the personality leaves, when he goes away from the scene, many times we start making up the new agenda. What is the next thing, what we have to do? And that is where the problems, and this is not only now, it has happened even Ramchandra's time. If you want to know, I'll tell you what Valmiki says about that. Sri Ramachandra decided to go to the forest. As you know, Sri Ramachandra decided to go to the forest. So when he decided to go to the forest, this is the nature of the ordinary people throughout history. It is not different then, it's not different now. Throughout history, the nature is the same. Nature is like this. Ordinary people are ordinary people. They will not look further up. So when Ramchandra decided to go to the forest, everyone in Ayodhya was crying. Everybody in Ayodhya was crying. So they stopped cooking at home. All the Agnihotram, which was they were supposed to perform at home, Agnihotram has stopped. They were expressing tremendous emotional feelings of Ramchandra's departure. And Valmiki at that point says, seeing all the people's emotion, how they were affected, we also talk about that, how much they felt when Ramchandra was leaving. They followed Ramachandra into the forest, isn't it? They followed Ramachandra into the forest. And when they reached the Sarayu River, they all started feeling sleepy. They were all tired by then. So when they got there, they felt sleepy and they started sleeping. When they started sleeping, Ramachandra left that time. That was the night Ramachandra crossed the river to the other side and he left, continued his journey. In other words, if you fall asleep, you will lose Ramchandra. That's what it means. Yeah. So this is exactly what has happened. So when Ramchandra left, these people, they said, well, what can we do? We are going back to Ayodhya. They came back to Ayodhya. And then everything, life went as normal for some time. Then Bharata decided to go looking for Ramchandra, isn't it? In Ramayanam, you know that, so everybody knows. Bharata went looking for Ramchandra. So when they heard that Bharata was leaving, again all these whole people decided to go with him, go to the forest along with him, and they said, oh, we can't live, just as they said before about Ramchandra, we can't live without him. Now they said, oh, we can't live without Bharata, you are leaving. And so they all followed him also. So they followed him, and they, when they got to the forest, the place they first arrived was in Bharadvaja Maharshi's ashram, Bharadvaja Muni's ashram. So when they arrived at Bharadvaja Muni's ashram, Bharadvaja Muni had a lot of mystic power with him. So what he thought was, these people are just emotional about things, but they are not very completely committed to anything. They are just people who are ordinary people. They came here. So he said, let me give them a nice feast. He decided, and Bharadvaja Maharshi has given them an excellent feast at the forest, which they never expected. So as soon as the feast was over, what did the people say there? All the people who had come, they were saying that we never knew that there was such a nice place to eat. You see, that people's thinking, as long as they have a nice place to eat, and they have a place to sleep, and they have a place to socialize, they'll be satisfied with that. That's all people want in life. Other things like Vaikuntham, Kailasam and all much comes much later. Majority of the people fall into that category, and that has not changed then, it has not changed in Krishna's time, it has not changed now also. This you will always notice. I can make it much more clear at this point. Because what happened was, when after the feast was over, they wanted to sleep straight away. So they fell asleep, and then Bharata moved on from there. So what did they say after that? They were saying, why should we go back to Ayodhya now? Because this place is not too bad. Bharadvaja Maharshi is giving us nice prasadam here. And there is plenty of place, things to do, plenty of place to enjoy here. So let us stay here. And they started saying something there. What did they say? they say to Bharadwaja Maharshi and to others, in Ramayana Valmiki puts it like this, Naivam Ayodhya Gamishya. There is no need to go back to Ayodhya. Na Gamishya Aja Dandagan. There is no need to go looking for Ramachandra either. Kushalam Bharadasyastu. Let Bharada live happily somewhere wherever he is. Ramasyastu Tatha Sukham. Valmiki is actually making fun of people. Seeing how people are. As long as they are provided with their basic necessities of life, as means eating and sleeping and socializing facilities are there, they are not looking anything more than that. So Valmiki is making, in a very humorous way he puts it, Naivam Ayodhya Gamishya, Na Gamishya Jasa Dandagan, Kushalam Bharadasyastu, Ramasyastu Tatha Asodam. Let Bharada live wherever he is happily, and Ramchandra also live wherever he is happily, and we will live here happily with as the guests of Bharadwaja Maharshi. So this is how people are. This is in Ramchandra's time. Now think about Krishna's time, what happened after this. When Krishna decided to leave the world, prior to that, you know that story what happened in the Mahabharatam and the Bhagavatam also mentioned what is known as Mausalam. Mausalam is Nasha Kaushalam. That means Krishna has organized how the end should be. Dwaraka should go underneath the water. And all the Adavas were invited to go to Prabhasam, where Krishna planned many things to happen after that. So before going to Prabhasam, Krishna has organized things in such a way. The Samba, the Krishna's grandchildren decided to make fun of the sages. You know that story of how Krishna's departure happened. They decided to make fun of the sages. They dressed up Samba as a pregnant woman, Jambavati's son as a pregnant woman, and they held him in the forest. And the sages, Dhruvasava and others, were coming through that way. And they asked the sages, this girl is very shy to talk. She wants to know what child she would have when she delivers the baby. The sages, because they had the higher vision, Jnanadrishti, they were able to see that these children, Krishna's children, grandchildren they were trying to make fun of them. And they did not think twice. They said when he delivers the baby, it will be an iron rod that will come out from that, from the belly. And saying that, and with that iron rod, the whole race will be finished. That also they gave the blessing and they left. So after they left, what has happened was that they brought Samba out and removed the sari and everything. They found this piece of rod, iron metal rod inside. They took it in and they realized that there's something serious now. It's not a simple thing as they thought. They could get away with it. They went back and told Ugrasena what has happened. And Ugrasena also, being the such an old person, did not even think that he could feel the need to mention about this to Krishna. Even Ugrasena never thought about this. So Ugrasena decided, we'll break this, we'll powder it and throw it into the sea. And then we'll forget it and that'll be the end of that. Nothing is going to happen. Even Ugrasena thought like that. So threw that into the sea, powdered it and threw it into the sea, and they thought that everything is over. But then later on, the same thing, a piece of that was to become the small piece that was left out from that, which was come to be used by Jara, the hunter, while he was going to shoot the arrow in Krishna's lotus feet later. So that has happened, and then the cares of the sages were discussed in the assembly, and Krishna has warned them that the whole Yadava race is going to experience a great disaster and the end of their existence in this world. This was foreseen by Krishna. Krishna spoke about that. And when he heard that, the offense they have committed to the sages, and the reaction from that, Krishna said that you have done the greatest blunder. Not realizing the consequences of what you have done, the only option now you have is to go to Prabhasam, and in Prabhasam execute activities. In Prabhasam execute activities in such a way that you are relieved from the sinful reactions of those activities of offending the sages. So Krishna said, we forget about Dwaraka now, let's all move to Prabhasam. And when they were planning to go to Prabhasam, Krishna told them, we will go there, and after going there, we will spend many days, invite all these sages back, and we will apologize to them, and ask for forgiveness, and please them by our activities in such a way that they forgive us for the offense we have committed to them. The serious mood of Krishna at that time, Yadavas could not understand. What did Yadavas do? Yadavas says, oh, we are ready to go to Prabhasam. And while going to Prabhasam, what were they doing? They were loading the vehicles with bottles to take it with them. So that when they go there, they can get their pints. So this is how it is. The ordinary people are ordinary people all the time, whether it is in Ramchandra's time or Krishna's time. And even come to now, we will leave that and we'll come to Prabhupada's time, what happened. Because that's closer to us, isn't it? It has not changed. It is always the same. And that will not change also. It's not so easy. Because that is why Krishna is saying that out of many people who come inquiring about me, hardly anyone knows me too. Because most of the people live half the way itself. They will leave it there. And even if they leave it, as soon as their immediate material necessities are met, then after that further inquiry, they keep it for next life or the life after. So that is not serious issue. So what has happened was that even after Krishna telling them the Yadavas the danger of what they have done or the consequences, alerting them about their actions and the results of their actions, still they could not recognize it. They could not accept it. Or they could not get convinced on that. They said, still, what does it matter? After we have gone there, done all our rituals, whatever we have to do, we'll open the bottle. This was the mood. So this is how the consciousness is. People's consciousness is always like that. So in Ramachandra's time, this has happened. And Krishna's time, this has happened. Prabhupada often tried to point this out in many, many times. But because people want something different, they will not take that very seriously. They'll give importance to something else, which is not that important. In 1976, while in Fiji, on 30th of April, Prabhupada was talking about Krishna consciousness. And in one instance, everybody was saying that prasadam is the most important thing. Prasadam is the most important thing. Prasadam is the most important thing. If you eat as much prasadam as possible, you eat and then you are self-realized and gone back home back to Godhead. This is how it was put forward by some people like that also. So at that time, Prabhupada got to some extent a little bit, disgusted with it, that people are not understanding the point yet. In spite of pushing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it's not going in. On the other hand, prasadam is stressed all the time. Prasadam, 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 nothing else. And this prasadam consciousness, prasadam is important. I'm not minimizing the importance of prasadam. Prasadam should be eaten. Only prasadam should be eaten. But eating prasadam is not only Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is going after Krishna's instructions and following that words, what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the mission of Krishna consciousness movement. So, at that time, what happened was that Prabhupada, in the conversations, those who have got conversations, they can take it and read it. In this volume 20, Prabhupada speaks about that. When the devotees mentioned about this prasadam, Krishna, I'll read out what Prabhupada said at that point. We are giving you prasadam. And that is fact, that by eating, 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 four times, he repeats, you one day will become Krishna conscious, simply by eating. Because you are so dull. You cannot understand the philosophy. What Prabhupada was explaining, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll just look this side, that side. When is the prasadam time? That's the next question. So if we approach spiritual life in that mood, it will take a very, very long time to understand what Krishna is saying. That Prabhupada is not saying that you should take prasadam, but he says here that because you are so dull, you cannot understand the philosophy. You know the belly like the animals do. And so therefore, we are giving facility. All right, fill up your belly, fill up your belly. And you will be infected. So this does not mean that prasadam is the main business. Prasadam is not the main business. Main business is understanding Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and follow that. And from there, prasadam is a part of that. So in as far as these things are concerned, what I was trying to say is this, that this nature of the human society is always like that. In Ramachandra's time, in Krishna's time, and in the recent time, like Srila Prabhupada's time also, it has been like that. But then some people who have, Krishna says, that who understand the philosophy and who try to move progress on that, they will find the happiness. It is those people Krishna is talking about here. Dhyanena alpani pashyandi. Not those who are eating three times prasadam plate full. They are not referred to in these verses. Dhyanena alpani pashyandi. Kejid alpanam alpani. Anye sanghena yogena karma yogena chaparem. So, karma yogena chapare. So, Krishna's words are referring to those people who have taken to this process in that way. So, coming to this point that Krishna says here, that the generally the nature in most of us is that we will find fault with the society, isn't it? We will say, oh, the society is not allowing this, or the whole modern education is the cause of this. Krishna says, that's alright, you can criticize all that, you can find fault with all that, that's fine. But Krishna says, really, the problem is inside. Problem is inside. We are not turning, looking inwards. That's where the problem starts from. That's the point Krishna is stressing again, that realizing the self is not the goal. The goal is mostly absorbed in the body, filling up the belly or filling up the other material needs. If that becomes the goal, then the spiritual life is hampered. That will not go very faster. And sometimes people say that, oh, this is all because of the society. And we say, oh, the society has made someone a murderer. And sometimes we say, society has made someone a prostitute. Society has made someone a drug addict. Society has made this, society has made that. We give so many reasons about the society being responsible for that. We say that society is responsible for that. But what is this society? Society is nothing but people like you, me, and every one of us. We make this society. It is a very convenient way of blaming someone and escaping from that. Krishna says, don't blame anything, anybody, anyone for this. As long as one is turned inwards and is looking towards his own identity, and that is where the problem is. That is where the problem is in the personality, as you mentioned. That the personality itself is a problem, that our own identity, in other words, our real personality is unknown to us, what we are. And looking for a solution outside in other ways is what is causing the problem. That is what Krishna is pointing out here. That dhyanena almani pashyandi kejida almanam almana anye sanghena yogena karma yogena chapare anye tvavamajananda shutvane bhimupasade Tevijadi Darandeva Mrityam Shuri Parayanaha. Then, as I mentioned before in the last verse, that we are all caught up in this, what do you call it, in this mesmerism of society. We think the society is not going the right direction, that is why I am in trouble. We blame the society for that. But Krishna says, don't do that, because society is all, after all, it's people like you who have made the society. If an individual wants to progress in spiritual life, Bhagavad Gita is sufficient. You don't need anything else. And a firm desire, a strong desire to understand Bhagavad Gita and to take it seriously. And the whole path is open to him. He doesn't need anything else. And all other things is excuses what we have found ourselves to escape from this Bhagavad Gita. And to say that, oh, the scientists are responsible. What can scientists do? Scientists can keep on with their research and laboratory. What else will they do with that? They will never get the truth at the end. It is not possible, because Krishna has already spoken about that in different instances, that why scientific knowledge is jadavidya. Jadavidya means it is jadam, dead knowledge. Why it is called jadavidya is, we can give you so many examples for that. The take for example sun planet. The sun planet gives life, keeps the life going in this world, isn't it? The living entity is able to sustain its life with the help of the sun planet. Without sun planet and the sunshine, our life will not be possible. We won't be able to survive in this world. Everybody knows about that. That's when everyone welcomes sun everywhere, isn't it? So the sun's position in this creation is such, without his presence, a living entity cannot survive in this creation. Scientists are saying the sun is made of matter. Sun is made of matter. Matter cannot sustain life in this world. Unless there is life there, life cannot sustain life in this world. Matter cannot sustain life in this world. That is the Vedic understanding. Though it is because of this that the life in the sun is which is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It is Krishna's energy that is reflecting through the sun to us. Forgetting that Krishna, we are seeing matter, sun as a lump of matter. And on that basis we are studying things. Krishna says, where will this take you at the end? After all, we all agree on one point, that the life sustains in this world, the jiva, the living entity, or life in this world is sustained by the help of that powerful entity Surya or sun god. And sun's presence there gives us life. In other words, this life here is surviving here because of that life in that sun. We are saying, no, scientists are saying, no, the matter there, that is burning, and the light and the heat that is coming from there, where is that coming from? That question comes. So like this, if you study sun like a dead matter, the result also will be very dead. No successful results will come from that. There is no point in inquiring in this way. It's not going to go anywhere. At the end, we have to see where the life has come from. How does the life survive in this creation? What does this life require? Material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. In addition, in conjunction, we have seen before, Prakriti and Purusha, when they interact together, from their happiness and distress and everything that experienced in this world is coming from that, isn't it? And Krishna has already spoken about that previously in one verse. He said there that earlier he says, Anadival param brahmam satanna saduchyade. And he also says here that karanam guna sangasya sadasadyo anijanmasum. So that is so many things Krishna has spoken about, the importance of the understanding Prakriti and Purusha, material nature and the spirit within that, the soul, how the soul survives here, the soul's condition, soul's relationship with the matter, and so many things Krishna has spoken. So you can see from this that the science is not the problem. Science will go on like this. There will be for many another thousands of years, probably, if there is some peace in this world, they'll conduct the research also. There is no question about that. But that's not going to find the answer for the problem. Problem is something different. Problem Krishna is saying here, that is why in this verse you will see that unless you have knowledge from Krishna, Krishna's knowledge, if you don't accept it, you are lost in this world. There is no hope at all. Your research will go on forever. But it is not, that is not the way to go forward. That if you want knowledge which will take you further beyond death, after death what happens, and whatever proper realizations are, if you want to know those things, you have no shelter except Bhagavad Gita. So that is why in this particular verse, while commenting on that, acharyas have stressed this one point, that only a Jagat Guru, Krishna is called Jagat Guru because of this, the Supreme Spiritual Master. The Supreme Spiritual Master is Krishna. Because it is from him alone spiritual knowledge comes. He is the originator. He is the originator. And out of his causeless mercy, he gave us Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam. Out of his causeless mercy. When Uddhava asked Krishna that why not live in this world for some more time for many generations to come in the future to take benefit from. Krishna says there is no need for that. I have left behind what is required for them. And those who are searching after me, they will find me there. They don't need me. Personal presence is not required. This was Krishna's answer to Uddhava. So, from there you can see how much value Krishna has given to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it becomes all the more a duty on the part of every devotee, not only devotee, every individual, who wants to have knowledge from spiritual life, on spiritual life, to come to Bhagavad Gita and to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the point that wanted to make him this in this situation. Anyeteva majananda shutvanebhya upasade tebi jati tarandeva mrityam shrutivarayanaha. Krishna says here, anyeteva majananda shutvanebhya upasade. Everybody may not hear about Bhagavad Gita in this world. Everyone may not hear Bhagavad Gita. Everyone may not hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That may not happen. Krishna says there will be many situations when people cannot come to the temple. They may not be able to come, or they may not be able to get that opportunity in their life to hear the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. They may not get that opportunity due to various reasons. It can be anything, isn't it? Due to the people whom they are associating with, due to the fault that their commitments at home or commitments in elsewhere is such that they do not, like you can see, many people live such busy life in this world, running here, running there, they have to do business here, business there, and the employer or the company is demanding so much from them throughout life, and before they can think about some time to think about life, the time is over, they have to leave. So that's what happens in majority of the cases in this world, isn't it? So those who are busy like that, what can you do? What can you do with them? That they not got that opportunity to sit peacefully and think what Krishna is saying here. So anyateva majananda shutvanebhya upasade. Krishna says they may not get that opportunity to come due to their own prarabdha karmam, you can call it like that. Due to their prarabdham, that's what they are experiencing there. That busy life, what they have to lead in that way. Or some instances, some people have to work 24 hours to survive in this world. They also are limited by such situations. So like this, various kinds of things. So Krishna is referring to them. That in such situations, what should one do? That is the question then. Anyeteva majananda shutva anebhya upasade tevichabitarandeva mrityam shudivarayanaha. That many instances you will notice that before they have heard Bhagavad Gita from anyone, properly they have heard Bhagavad Gita, and before they have recognized the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, they will have all kinds of false understanding about human life. Somebody will say it's for enjoying life, somebody else will say it's for making money, somebody else will say I have to become very popular in this world. All kinds of false, illusory understandings will be there. But once Bhagavad Gita has affected a person in his life, or once he has accepted Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge has hit him improperly, then that person's way of thinking will completely change. His way of thinking will completely change, because then this knowledge what Krishna has injected will start working in that person automatically. That is what it happens with that knowledge. That is the power of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is such a powerful message there, that once when someone starts thinking about it, Krishna says there will be people like that in this world, but they don't get an opportunity to come and hear Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says here, when there is an instance, if you happen to meet people who are Shrutivarayana, Shrutivarayana means that they are willing to hear. They are willing to hear. But at the same time, they don't have the opportunity to come. In such situations, those who have understood Bhagavad Gita should speak to them about Bhagavad Gita, the message of Bhagavad Gita. And it can also happen, sometimes you never know, in people's life, sometimes it is they who make very quick advancement in spiritual life. Because when the message goes in, the power of the message is such that immediately it makes them to think a lot about life. And you never know how that person's karma is following him. In history, there are so many instances like that, that the influence of Bhagavad Gita has turned people's life overnight, like that. That it hit them so much that here is the truth, because truth cannot be covered. Krishna has spoken the absolute truth. It's coming from the original source, isn't it? And that source is revealing the truth to us through Bhagavad Gita. And by hearing Bhagavad Gita, one can get affected. And Krishna is saying here, we may not get back to the spiritual world, but that person may get back first. That can happen. But we may become a cause of that, in doing that. We may become a cause in that process. So that is why it is said, Bhagavad Gita should be spoken to people who are Shrutiparayana. Shrutiparayana means one who is willing to hear. Or one who is willing to hear. Then, you, one may think that, oh, he has not executed any sadhana, he has not executed anything else in life, not stenajida shudagana nobatida mahatamaha avrada adapta tavasaha salsangama ubahadaha. Bhagavadam says like this, that you can never say about a person's spiritual life how it will take develop into. Sometimes you see someone working hard day and night and throughout life, and still you find that spiritually he is not getting very far. And somebody else, overnight he is making that big leap in the spiritual side. Why does that happen? Because the message is such, and the person's vasanas and karma is another factor that is a big role. And sometimes how the message affects a person is very difficult to say that. It's very difficult to say that. That's why Krishna is saying here, that the most important thing is to associate with devotees. Devotees means sajjana samsargam, as it is called. Association with those people who are infected with Krishna consciousness. That is the easiest and quickest process to get this effective. Association with such people will be much faster to infect Krishna consciousness. Krishna rejects everything else. Even chanting he rejects. He says that is not as powerful as the association with a great personality, a great soul. So satsangam or association with great devotees is the quickest and simplest process. And in the Bhagavatam, while referring to that, Krishna even quotes Sugriva and Hanuman and so many other birds even. He says they have advanced in the spiritual path due to association. So is the power of association. And in order to stress that point again and again, Sri Narada Maharshi in the Narada Bhakti Sutra refers to that very powerfully. He mentions that. And after writing Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi thought, did I mention a little excessively about this association? This doubt came to his mind. He went to Vaikuntha Planet and discussed it with Krishna. When he spoke to Krishna about that, Krishna says, Sri Narada, don't have to worry about it. You yourself will be convinced about the power of association, what it is like. So Sri Narada Maharshi was instructed by Krishna to come to this world again, to earthly planet. And he told Narada Maharshi, go to some particular place where a farmer is ploughing the field. And while he is ploughing the field, you will see a worm coming out from there, in that field. And you look at the worm and ask the worm what you have asked me, the question, that how the association will make a progress. Sri Narada Maharshi knew the language of all the different living entities. After all, he is a great sage. Sri Narada Maharshi came here as instructed by Krishna, and he goes to this field where he was supposed to talk to this worm. He went and spoke to the worm about it. Why are you rushing like this? What do you think about association with devotees? He asked the worm, and the worm's replies to Narada Maharshi was, don't, my dear sage, don't waste your time standing here. Right now, you go to that tree. There is a tree standing there. In that tree, there is a nest there. And there is a bird which is delivering some eggs there. Go and see there. When you get there, you ask that one of the eggs will answer your question, what you have asked me. Sri Narada Maharshi leaves the worm and goes to that bird there. And when he went there, the bird has delivered the babies and the few little ones have come out from that. Narada Maharshi asked one of them, why do you think that you have come here? See, the birds respected Sri Narada Maharshi and told them that we are leaving this body now. You can come and see us. There is a cow which is going to deliver a calf a few miles from here. If you go there and ask this calf the same question what you are asking us. Sri Narada Maharshi goes from there and see this cow which is going to deliver the calf. As soon as the calf is delivered, Sri Narada Maharshi asks the question that what is the purpose of your coming to this world in this body. The calf answers that I won't be staying in this body very long time. I'm going away now. He said, if you want the answer to this question, you should go to the palace of the king, and there is a prince is born there. Go and speak to him. So Sri Narada Maharshi first started with the worm, went to the bird, and from the bird he went to the calf, and cow and the calf, and from there now he comes to the palace. When he came to the palace, the prince was born, and the prince is already ready for the brahmachari age. He has started. But seeing this very illuminating nature of this brahmachari, Srinarada Maharshi asked the brahmachari, what is your purpose of life? He says to brahmachari. Brahmachari says, my purpose of life is going back to the spiritual world. I'm taking sannyas and leaving, he says. Narada Maharshi didn't require any more explanation. Just by associating with Narada Muni alone, Krishna was trying to point out to him, the power of association of a sage like Srinarada Maharshi. A living entity is changing its body so fast and going progressing in its material cycle. It's progressing so fast in that way that it got into the position of a brahmachari's life and gone away from there back to the sannyasashram and the spiritual world from there. So these incidents mentioned in the Puranas are to tell us that the power of the association is such that Krishna is also saying here that once you get that association, that is the quickest to process than anything else to progress on the path of spiritual life. So, coming back to this world, whereas Krishna is saying here, Anyetyavam ajanandam shutvani bhyupasade tebi jaditaran diva mrityum shodibarayanaham. That those who have got faith in Krishna's words, those who have got good association, and those who have got devotion, they will advance very quickly. Very quickly they will go up due to the association with the devotees. This is the beauty of this science. That's what Krishna is saying here. That is the glory of this Bhagavad Gita. The beauty of Bhagavad Gita is this, that just with seriousness, Shraddha and Bhakti and devotion, and who has got faith in that, and he associates with the right people, he can go much faster in the spiritual life. So, this should be spoken as Krishna says here, Anyetyam ajananda shutvane bhyubhasade tebi chadi tarandiyava mrityum. In other words, he will get liberated, he will cross over death, the cycle of birth and death. That's what Krishna is saying. Even such people who had not got an opportunity to come and to hear Bhagavad Gita and to receive this knowledge in the proper way, even they, Krishna says, tebi chadi tarandiyava mrityum, they will also get over death, cycle of birth and death, shuddhi parayana, because they have that sincere desire to hear. That is a qualification, a sincere and honest desire to hear Bhagavad Gita. Nothing else is required. As long as that sincerity is there, Krishna says, this knowledge will work on a person. It will not leave him at the end. This is the most powerful message in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to us that what is the qualification to advance in spiritual life? That seriousness in realizing Bhagavad Gita, in understanding Bhagavad Gita. So as long as that enthusiasm is there to know what is Krishna is saying, and that strong desire not to stick to get deviated in other directions. People will say so many things are important. Opening schools are important, hospitals are important. So many things, projects will come about. Tsunami will become important. Everything will become important in this world. There is nothing you can which is not important. And then you will get misdirected in so many different directions. Krishna says that is one you have to be careful about. That is where things can go wrong. Because once you have come to Bhagavad Gita, the goal is one, that is to realize the self. And that process, you have to stick to what Krishna says. Nothing else will come on that way. Nothing else can replace. There is no substitute to that. That is what all the acharyas have done in the past. That's what all the great souls have followed. That's what all the great devotees have spoken about. So where is the question of going in another direction? We don't have to manufacture, like Prabhupada says, any time. We don't have to manufacture anything. It is all there in Bhagavad Gita. If you understand it and accept it, that's all what is required. So this was the purpose of Krishna saying. And for thousands of years, this knowledge has survived in this world. And it has taken people back home, back to Krishna. So many people have been with Bhagavad Gita, they have gone back to Krishna. And that is the power of this Bhagavad Gita. It should not be spoken to people who have a differently wired, in other words. That's all I can say. Because there sometimes people's mind are so strange that they can come up with some strange questions. What's the point in studying this? How do you know that? Have you seen Krishna? Yes, he's spoken the correct thing. And if you start questioning like this, it's endless. But Krishna's words are such, then a certain tarkam is okay, but kutarkam is wrong. Kutarkam means that arguing for argument's sake. That doesn't help. That does not get anywhere. So all the Tarkam is a subject, is one of the Upangas of the Vedas. That you have to remember that. But that Tarkam, what is allowed is, constructively you can ask, keeping the Vedic authority acceptable. Otherwise there is no point. Authority of the Vedas must be accepted first. Otherwise if you question from your mundane way or in the mundane level, if you question things, that is no meaning. Keeping the authority of the Vedas within the framework of the Vedic literature, one can question things, not otherwise. So that is the most important thing to remember here. Sometimes we say things like this. For example, just to make this point a little bit more clearer, that what is allowed and what's not allowed. Some instances when you speak Bhagavad Gita to some people, that sometimes people are not heard, because mostly the problem is that due to tamogunam and to rajogunam and to their own habits, many times people don't have any understanding of spiritual life. We have to speak to such people also. And sometimes there are people who are educated, but at the same time do not have any inclination towards spiritual life. And they maintain certain principles for morals in life. And they have misunderstood what religion means also. This can happen in some instances. Just like when one instance, in one classroom, one teacher was teaching students. He was teaching the students. Some things he was teaching from the history. Children were tired of this thing called history. They were told Columbus went to America in this and this year, and they discovered America, and something else happened, the World War happened. Some children will think, who are thoughtful, what is the point in knowing all these things, what has happened 100, 200 years ago in some part of the world which I have no connection with. And by knowing all these things, what do I gain from this? But then this thing called the general knowledge and all these things becomes very important in this world. Sometimes everywhere, sometimes you have to laugh at these things. In television, they have this competition between different universities, isn't it? One competing against the other. And the questions that's put forward, so ridiculous questions. And these questions, and these so-called brains are sitting there and arguing about it. And the judge, super brain, is sitting behind and finding a solution. What a class of consciousness is this? So such people, if you talk to, it may not help. Because the reason is that, in one classroom, they were teaching like this. Because you groom them like this from the very beginning, with this understanding, that all this is important, isn't it? So when they were doing this, one teacher was very seriously, he was doing his job. So the students were getting so bored, some of them were sleeping, and some of them were in a desperate mood, when is he going to finish and leave me? And that kind of situation. But he kept on, he pressed on with himself. And eventually one day he turned out to one person who was almost half asleep, and he started asking this question, who discovered America, he said. Straightly he thought he has done something, and he said, I didn't do it, he said. Straight away. I didn't do it, he said. He felt that he's going to catch him for sleeping or something. Straight away the answer was, I didn't do it, he said. So he said, then he was going to ask the next one who was sitting next to him. At least he would know, he thought. Nobody was interested. He was pushing things on his head. Poor fellow, he has to learn all these things, because the exam he has to write to get his A star or whatever star he has to get. So he was asking the next one. Next one got a bit frightened, saying that the whole anger is going to be thrown at me, he thought. So the next one was sitting next to this boy. So he asked him the next question. So he immediately started getting a little bit shivery, worried about it. So the teacher thought, these guys are never going to improve, they are not going to learn anything. And he finished his class and went away. He went back and he had a friend, a policeman. So he says to the policeman that such and such a thing happened in the classroom. I have asked this one question and he says to me, I didn't do it. And then the next one, when I asked, he starts showing, he's getting worried about it. You know what the policeman said? Policeman says to him, if you had handed him over to me, I would have shown you how to get the answer out of him. This was the answer from the policeman. To such people, don't speak Bhagavad Gita. No use. If their mind is wired in that way, because in police, this is the one thing, how to catch everyone, isn't it? To catch the criminal. So their mind is groomed in that way all the time, and he's thinking how to get it out of that man. Police is very notorious, known for that, isn't it? How they can torture people and extract from them their agreement to accept it. Whatever. So his mind was working like that. He thought, this boy, if I get him, I would have shown you how to make him agree to what he wanted. So to such people, Krishna says, don't speak Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita should be spoken to people. That's why the word used there, Shruti Parayanaha. Shruti Parayana, one who has a desire to hear and one who has the seriousness in spiritual life. To such people, if you speak Krishna's words, that will be effective. Very important message that is, to whom one should speak Bhagavad Gita. If Bhagavad Gita is not, otherwise you never know. Sometimes, why does, in Bhagavatam also, the same point will come up. Durvinitaya, Krishna says to Uddhava. Those who are not humble, and those who are not free from the ego, and unless they have some genuine desire to advance spiritually, you shouldn't talk about them with Bhagavad Gita or Ekadasha Skandam. Should not be spoken to them. This is Krishna's very clear instructions in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because Krishna knows you will be wasting your time. You will be wasting your energy. And also that person will misunderstand also, come back with some misunderstanding. And he has no genuine interest in that. So that has to be taken into account, Krishna says here. Anyeteva majananda shrutva nebhyam upasade. Te bijati tarandeva mrityam shruti parayanaham. Sometimes when you see, you speak to people something about the soul and the soul's activity. Some people it clicks like this. In 1 second they'll get it. And once they've got it, they won't leave it. They'll relish that. And that is how spiritual life is. It's not something that you go on working life after life. And sometimes due to our own, if there is some good pious activities to one's credit, and one has the good fortune of serving a great soul, in such situations, Bhagavad Gita can come very effectively into his life. That's what Krishna is pointing out. That is the glory of this science of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is stressing that point here. Yaval sanjayide kinjil satvam sthavara jangamam kshetra kshetrajna samyoga tadvidhi bharadarshabaha. Krishna says in the next verse, Yaval sanjayide kinjil satvam sthavara jangamam, that all these things, stavaram and jangamam. Stavara means what one is not moving and non-moving. Both of these things, Krishna says there, kshetra kshetra samyogal tadvidhi bharadarshabaha, that everything what you find moving and non-moving in this creation, in other words, everything in this creation has come from the combination of kshetram and kshetrajnan. Krishna says like this, kshetram and kshetrajnan has caused this samyogam, or the mutual association of the kshetram and kshetrajnan, it has happened. Krishna says that. So normally in our own mind is full of different thoughts all the time coming through, isn't it? Sangalpam and vigalpam it is referred to. Sangalpam and vigalpam. Sangalpam means constantly building up different perceptions of different things, and that is being fed by the senses, the different 5 senses of knowledge. So the senses of knowledge are pushing different thoughts into our mind, and mind is constantly building up on over that, isn't it? That's called sangalpam. And sangalpam and vigalpam is that things what some of them we rejected, isn't it? Some of them we rejected. Oh, do you think, oh, that's not the right thing to do, or this is the right thing, or he is right, he is wrong. All these kinds of ways of analysis goes on inside the mind. This is called sangalpam and vigalpam. The sangalpam and vigalpam, in other words, it's also referred to as vishayam. Vishayam means that they are actually not allowing you to find your true identity, because they are on the way. They are on the way. The mind has become so active, and it is deviating you from fixing your mind on focusing it on the true identity as spirit soul. That's not, it's not happening because of the presence of the mind. So the sangalpam and vigalpam has to go from the mind. In other words, this is what Krishna is talking about through meditation and all that. Dhyana yogam process we saw when we discussed the sixth chapter. Krishna was talking about this, wasn't it? He was saying that how important it is that this dhyana yogam process is helpful for the mind. how to get the mind under control. So, Krishna is saying here, due to association of Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, that all these kinds of different kinds of forms and different kinds of objects, that all starts manifesting in our mind. That has happened due to the association of Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. That's what Krishna... Once we know why it has happened, then you can do something about it, isn't it? You can do something about it. Otherwise, it's not possible. You see, often people think why we should refrain from certain things, isn't it? Okay, four regulative principles are the very minimum what one should adopt in life. That is just, Prabhupada used to say, to make us a human being. To come to the human platform, at least these four regulative principles are necessary. But we consider four regulative principles as the process of self-realization. Krishna is not saying like that. In the Bhagavatam also, four regulative principles makes us a human being first. And then, after the four regulative principles, what happens is, we have to see in our own mind what is going through. There are so many other things what one has to sort out further. And those are the things which are constantly we have to fight with. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning also, when we spoke about the Kathopanishad, Rathakalpana, as it's called, the chariot, we saw Arjuna as the passenger, the human body as the body as the chariot, Krishna is the driver, the charioteer, and the horses are the senses, and the mind is the rein. Unless the mind is controlled by the intelligence where Krishna is situated, it is impossible to control the mind as well as the senses. That's what that picture is presenting before us. The picture is presenting before us that point, that unless we control this horses, which are the senses, and all the shastras will say that you have to close those doors. These are the doors from this body to the external world, isn't it? So unless the doors are closed, it is not possible to get that seriousness inside. Often we want to do many things at the same time, and we think great rejoice in that, oh, I'm able to do my material life nicely as well as the spiritual life is going on nicely. We think like that sometimes. Both things don't go on nicely. It doesn't happen. Either material life will go well, or spiritual life will go well, or both won't go well. This is what will happen. So, in order that to come to the spiritual life and to understand Bhagavad Gita, one has to take it so seriously that we have to make whatever adjustments possible on the material side also. It's necessary. Otherwise, it will not go together very well. You can say so many things, but at the end of the day, these senses, they are so powerful. And once you are given an opportunity, it can create the sangalpam and vigalpam inside. The senses, particularly the eyes, and also the sound vibrations, what we hear, and the tongue, when it's allowed to taste, if they are given a freedom to act, they will feed the mind with different kinds of vigalpam. And once that vigalpam comes inside, then the mind will start functioning on based on that. So therefore, in order to control the mind, Krishna is saying there that control is necessary on the senses as well. One has to know where to discriminate things. One has to reject things, what one should not see, one should not see. Because if one starts seeing such things, it will come back and start disturbing the mind later. And that could be the problem in spiritual life. So these subtle things also have to be taken into account while looking at our own lifestyle or our own life. Krishna is pointing out to that. So it's not only that, just by I'm following four regulative principles, everything will be wonderful. That is necessary to start with. But later on, when Krishna is saying here that Yavil Sanjayade Kinjal Sattvam Stavara Jangamam Kshetra Kshetrajna Samyogalta Dvidi Haridarshavaha, that this connection with Kshetram and Kshetrajnan is a very complex one. It's a very complex one. And Kshetram's association and Kshetrajna's association, how it develops into different patterns in our own life, that you can see in several instances. That one important point to remember here is that from human body right up to the speck of dust in this earth, nothing has come out without the association of the Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. That is the most important thing to remember. that this relationship between Kshetram and Kshetrajnam, that is what has caused this whole material manifestation. Whole material manifestation has happened from that. If you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while we were discussing in the third canto, we spoke about creation process from Brahma onwards. Actually, Kshetrajna business started from there itself. If you can see, from Brahma's body it has started, isn't it? Kshetrajna Samyogam has started from there. And that has gone on right up to today, and it will continue to exist throughout the creation, all time to come. So, Kshetrajna interaction is a perpetual thing that will go on in this world forever. It's not that it happened once and it's finished there. No. Kshetram and Kshetrajnam, that relationship is always constantly happening. And this is the most important thing to remember, because sometimes people who are looking for the origin of this creation, isn't it? There are people in this world who wants to know that first before inquiring, knowing anything else. They say, where did we all start from first? And they have formulated different theories also at different times, how the origin has started. But no one has come to understand this point, what Krishna is making here, that this connection, interaction between Kshetram and Kshetrajna is what is causing this whole process moving further and further. That is why in the Bhagavatam, while discussing the process of creation, primary creation was spoken, and then secondary creation was spoken, isn't it? Sargam and Visargam it's called. The Sargam is discussed in the third canto. Visargam is discussed in the fourth canto. Why it is spoken separately? Just to show to us that Kshetrajna Samyogam will develop in these forms at different stages. In the third canto, you will see the different stories, what the Kardama Prajavani, Devahuti Devi, marriage and the children that were born from them. Everything as a result of Kshetrajna Samyogam. Isn't it? Kshetrajna Samyogam is the cause of all that thing. And from then on, and coming to the fourth canto, which is Visargam, when that creation, if people do not take these rules properly, what has been spoken in the third canto, if you go against the principles of Sargam, how it will turn out into Visargam, that is what is shown in the fourth canto. That's why in the fourth canto, whatever you see there, all the stories are disasters at the end. Have you noticed? I don't know. If you look at, think about these things a little bit more deeply, meditate on this. How come everything in the third canto ends up auspiciously? Everything in the fourth canto ends up in a disaster way. That means, while recognizing this Kshetrajna Samyogam, when we are referring to Srimad Bhagavatam, I am saying this, that in the third canto you see, those who have accepted this principle, Kardama Prajapati, Devahuti Devi, Kapila Vasudeva instructions on the Kapilam or the Sankhya philosophy, everything in the third canto is blissful to hear. And also, you will notice there that Hiranyaksha has to, Jaya and Vijaya had to accept the body of Hiranyaksha there in the third canto. And Hiranyakashipu in the seventh canto, isn't it? Hiranyaksha came in the third canto. So there also, you will notice there, even Hiranyaksha's story comes to a beautiful understanding how Krishna's presence there is accepted and recognized by the sages. The moment it was done, everything went wonderfully. Yajna Purusha he was called, isn't it? The Varaha's body, Lord Varaha's body is nothing but full of the rules related to sacrifice. Yajna's Vedic sacrifices, that is what Varaha's body is. So he is called himself as Yajna Varaha. So that particular incarnation of Krishna was only to stress this one point to us, that Krishna is the prime factor in all these calculations. Who is the Kshetrajna? In that particular instance, when he is interacting, Jaya's soul and Krishna together, Jaya came as Hiranyaksha there, isn't it? And Krishna took up the form of Varaha and killed Hiranyaksha in that. Even there, that Kshetrajna role has not changed. Role has not changed. When you come to the fourth kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that the disaster that happens to Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati's tendency was that he has not understood Krishna consciousness in the right way. That was his problem. He thought, I am a Vaishnava, or I am a Vishnu devotee. I have to offend others. I do not take notice of anyone else. Not realizing who the greatest Vaishnava who was sitting in the assembly. The greatest of all Vaishnavas was present in the assembly. And he took offense against him to Lord Shiva. So he offended Lord Shiva. What was the result? The head was gone. Isn't it? The head was gone. And he has to wander around with a goat's head for many lifetimes with that, after that. So when the Kshetra-Kshetrajna Samyogam happens, if it's not with proper understanding of these things, that Dakshaprajapati, great personality, expert he was, that is why Brahma made him in charge, isn't it? So that Dakshaprajapati offended Lord Shiva and he had to accept the body of a goat. And it's also pointing out another important thing, that once one makes an offense to a great soul like that, that offense he has committed, that vasana will come out again another instance. And that's why Dakshaprajapati second time committed another offense towards Sri Narada Maharshi. You remember? He cursed Sri Narada Maharshi. You see how the vasanas have not left him. In spite of the fact that he offended Lord Shiva, he went through all the distress what he had to go through in the goat's head, everything what he had to keep it for, and then he was reborn again, and from Maricha, he was born as the son of Prajeda's child. He was born, isn't it? That Prajapati was born as children of Prajeda's from Maricha, the Vrikshak Varshi or Vrikshakanyaga, and the daughter of the trees. And from that Daksha was born. And then Daksha still has not left that vasana inside, of vasana of committing great personalities. That is the power of vasana. From that you can imagine how vasanas can give us trouble and how important it is to not to go in that route. What Dakshaprajapati has gone. Dakshaprajapati is teaching us this, don't become like me. That's what he is telling us indirectly. But some personalities in the Bhagavatam is telling us, you become like me. Some people are telling us, don't become like me. So this is Anvayam Vidrekabhyam, Bhagavatam says. Somebody is saying to us, you follow me. Somebody is telling, don't follow me. So Hiranyakashipu is telling us, don't follow me. And Dakshaprajapati is telling us, don't follow me. Prahlada is telling us, follow me. Dhruva Maharaj is telling us, follow me. Uddhava is telling us, follow me. So we have to discriminate here in the Bhagavatam, who is telling us, taking us in the right direction. Who is holding our hand and taking us in the right direction. So these things are to be reflected on when we think, study these verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Kshetra-Kshetrajna Samvagam is such an important thing. Yaval Sanjayade Kinjil Sattvam Stavara Jangamam Kshetra-Kshetrajnayo Samyogal Tadvidhi Bharadarshabham. If you understand this verse, one need not feel proud about anything in this world. Strictly speaking, there is no need to feel proud about anything. Unfortunately, many of the people, many big men, they think they have done big wonders in this world, what they have done, what they know. But it's all what is coming from their mouth and their realization is purely from their false ego. There's nothing to do with the truth. Truth is this, Kshetram and Kshetrajnin has interacted. And in that process all these things have happened. So it will naturally bring a certain degree of humility in a person when one realizes this, what is discussed in this verse. So, Yaval Sanjayade Kinjal Sattvam Stavara Jangamam Kshetra Kshetrajna Samyogal Tadvidhi Bharadarshava. Tadvidhi Bharadarshava. So, this is to be understood that it applies to everything in this world. We shouldn't think that only it applies to few people or few living entities. No. Everything in the creation is Kshetram and Kshetrajnam interaction. If you understand that, then in the light of that, you should look at other things. Then you will see everything falls in place. Everything falls in place. Once it so happened that one person once said that, I think this happened in the Middle East somewhere. So he said that, this is long medieval times, long ago this happened. He started saying that, I am God, he said. He said, I am God. He started saying like this, I am God, he said. So at that time, the local people, whoever they are there in that, they arrested him and took him to the, I think they call him Khalifa, something like that. They took him there and Khalifa asked him, don't you know that you shouldn't talk like this or nonsense is like this? He said, well, I am God, that's why I have spoken, but I am God, he said. So Khalifa told him that only the other day, somebody came here and he said that he was a prophet. Do you know what I have done? I have taken his head off, he said. I killed him straight away. Because he was making this propaganda that he is the prophet. I killed him straight away. So you should not do things like this, he said. No, you have done the right thing, he says, this man says. Because I never sent a prophet like that, he says. This was his answer to this person. So, such people also, Kshetra Kshetrajnam applies to them. That's what I'm saying. That we must know that in this world you get all varieties of people with all kinds of understanding, all different ideas, different thoughts, different mentalities, different conceptions. And they will talk all kinds of things. Sometimes it's very interesting to talk to different types of people. They've got very, very strange understanding about creation, about life in this world, and about their different dreams, what that's going through their head. All these things. Although we shouldn't waste too much time in discussing those things. But point I'm trying to make is this. Everything Krishna is saying, it has come from Kshetra Kshetrajna Samyogadi. It is only because of Kshetra, due to the Kshetrajna associating with Kshetram, the field, Kshetra Kshetrajna Samyogal Tadvidhi Bharadarshava. Everything has come from Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. The moment the soul has accepted the material body of material elements, mind intelligence false ego has built up inside subtle body, and the activities have begun in this creation, then it can do anything. There is nothing that it cannot do. So that is what Krishna is pointing out here. Everything, remember Arjuna, he says, Yaval Sanjayade Kinjil, Satvam, Stavaram, Jangamam, everything is Kshetra Kshetrajna Samyogal Tadvidhi. Everything has come from Kshetra Kshetrajna Samyogam Tadvidhi Bharadarshava. Use the word Bharadarshava. Bharadarshava means one who is relishing knowledge. Bharata word also has got a meaning like that. Not only follower of the descendant of the Bharata dynasty, it is also that Bha means knowledge. Rati means one who is relishing knowledge. So there is also another meaning to that word, Bharata, one who relishes knowledge. So Arjuna is relishing these instructions from Krishna. Then, many things, what we do not accept in our own understanding of Krishna, or our understanding of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, is due to what Krishna calls as avidya. Avidya means ignorance, isn't it? Avidya means ignorance. This is what is called avidya. Avidya means all these things that constantly not able to accept the instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Accept the instructions in Bhagavad Gita. This is called avidya. This avidya is different than the really speaking the word ignorance, because avidya is something which is more than ignorance. Ignorance is that something has been told, but still once he has told, he has accepted that and he is able to come out of that ignorance, isn't it? But avidya, the difference is, even if you are told, still it is not happening. That is the nature of avidya. See? The nature of avidya is different than anything else. Ignorance can be, say for example, if somebody is ignorant about certain things, you can tell him. And just like a child, he does not know many things. So he has been told by the parents or the teacher, someone is giving him some instructions about right way to do things. Or that is pulls him out of that ignorance. But avidya is more powerful than that. Avidya is not only somebody telling us, even somebody telling us, our mind is resisting to accept it due to avidya. Avidya manifests in the three modes of nature also. Rajogunam and Tamogunam are the servants of avidya. And that Rajogunam and Tamogunam, when they infect us very heavy, deeply, avidya will be very strong. So, in order to free oneself from avidya, that it is necessary that the mind will not stop that vichevam, as I mentioned before. As long as his avidya is prominent in one, he will not be able to come out of that vichevam, what he is experiencing in his mind. And that is why the purification and coming to the mode of goodness is necessary. This is why we say elevate oneself. What did Krishna say before? Uddham gacchandi sattvastha madhye tishtandi rajasa jaganya gunavrittistha adho gacchandi tamasaha. What does it all mean? It means urdvam gacchandi sattvastha. Sometimes people think, oh, if I have sattvagunam, after death I will be going to the heavenly planets. Madhye tishtandi rajasaha. Afterwards, if I am in the rajogunam, I will stay in the earthly planet. Jaganya Gunavrutisto, Adoga Chandi, Tamasaha. According to the lower modes of nature, Tamogunam, I'll go down. But actually, strictly speaking, it is very much within this body all this is happening right at this moment. As soon as you have Sattugunam, you are already going up. You don't have to wait till death. You are already moving up. The movement has started already as soon as Sattugunam comes in. It's not that after death it happens. People think that Sattugunam I'll cultivate now and at the time of death I'll go back. It's not like that. With Sattugunam already the consciousness has started going up. And similarly with Rajogunam, already that qualities will already started dragging you into the to nature. What are they? Work and disturb life. These are the two things of Rajogunam, isn't it? Abhimanam and Kartrutvam and Abhimanam. Pravritti and Abhimanam. Work and the work and the as well as the taking pride in that. This is the true nature of Rajogunam. And Tamogunam means what? Alasyam, through laziness and sleep. Nothing bothers him. So, Ramayana also, when presented, Valmiki Maharshi has picked three characters just to show us how the three gunas work. The eldest one, Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana, the three modes of nature, very perfect examples of the three modes of nature. Look at Vibhishana, in spite of all the Rakshasas around him, he maintained that consciousness still, was able to penetrate through that and maintain that steadiness, nature, showing the Sattugunam nature of a person. And Ravana, all his activity shows how Rajogunam was manifesting in him. Similarly, Kumbhakarna exhibited all the qualities of Tamogunam in all times, isn't it? Even when he was invited for the battle, he said, no, I have not finished my sleep yet. That was the answer, wasn't it? So, how you can see how the lower modes of nature, especially Rajogunam and Tamogunam, will never allow you to acquire this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In order that we understand the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and also to go up and to elevate oneself, become like Vibhishana, that nature to develop, Krishna says, Urdvam Gacchandi Sattvastha. That once you come to Sattvagunam, there is no question of falling back. You go up further from there. The chances are that you will progress very fast in your elevate the consciousness. The consciousness is more important. And that's what goes up from there onwards. So, having spoken this, Krishna is saying here in this verse that Madhya Tishtandi Rajasaha, Rajogunam's nature in Bhagavatam very clearly pointed out by Sudeva Goswami himself. What did he say? Rajodigaha karmabaraha dukhena sukhamaninam. Bhagavatam says like this. What is the nature of Rajogunam? Rajogunam is this, very simple. Many times we have discussed this before. People think that rushing here, rushing there is the answer to all the problems. He is very active, people say. What is this active? Rajodigaha karmabaraha. Karmabaram. I have to do work, 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 work. Nothing else. This is all what Rajogunam means. Karmam, karmam, continuous engage in karmam. And what else? Dukhena sukhamaninam. That everything that comes from the so-called work is distress at the end. At the end, all what is coming up is distress. And that distress, what is coming from that, he is taking it as happiness. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of this Rajogunam. Once Rajogunam becomes very prominent in a person, he does not know, always he is disturbed. The nature, the characteristics of a person in Rajogunam is discussed in the Bhagavatam. Is discussed in the Bhagavatam. That the person will never be able to study Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam at any time. Because his mind is disturbed. Always it is disturbed. So, Rajodigaha karmabaraha. Because of engaging in such horrendous karma, horrendous activities, that it will disturb his mind. And he will never be able to even engage in the understanding Krishna consciousness. So that is the nature of Rajogunam. Rajodigaha karma varaha dukheja sukhamanina. That is the worst part. That after executing so much karma, what does he think? He thinks that after working so hard during the day and for years and years, he comes home. And he sits and in his best expensive sofa set, what he has acquired after working so many years, and in which he takes that great pleasure and sitting on that. And so many things have gone wrong at home. Everything has gone in the wrong direction after working so hard. So often you read letters like that, isn't it? In the newspaper and all that. I worked all my life, I paid all my taxes, and still this is what has happened to me. People complaining about this. But you don't have to complain anything about it, because Krishna is saying there that you have a nature, when distress is coming, dukkham, distress is coming, you are consoling yourself, oh, this is not distress, actually it is happiness. So how did this attitude build up inside? That one is suffering, wasted all his lifetime in the wrong way, in the wrong activities, and at the end he is thinking that, oh, it's not too bad at the end. At the end everything is distress only. Whether it is office life or personal life or family life or whatever it is, it's all distress that is in store for all the living entities has to accept. And in the end, the whole distress manifests in a few days and or a few years, and then you have to leave the body also, isn't it? So all this is, as you get older, you recognize these things, that from now on there is not much to look forward to. What is in store is how I can get through this, and if I can leave this world peacefully without causing too much distress to others and to myself, that is itself considered to be the greatest success of life. But there are certain people who will never admit that. They'll go on and on and on and on until one day they get kicked and then they can't get up anymore from there. Then also they won't accept it. Then they'll say, I had a good life, past life was good. What was the use of that good life, what you had? What is the point in making such statements? So many ignorant statements very learned people make in this world. But they have not achieved anything in their life, except that exploit, given a lot of trouble to a lot of people, troubled himself a lot, nothing else he gained from that. By the end of the life, he is thinking that he wants some satisfaction, that I have done something in this world for the benefit of the whole society. Sometimes people get so confused, they don't know what to do with it, that they work so hard, and due to some karma that has followed them, they acquired a lot of wealth also, and they don't know what to do with this wealth at the end. And then they decide that we will do this charity, that charity, and wants to save the people in Africa, wants to save the people in India or Bangladesh or somewhere like that. And all kinds of ideas they build up. And that money goes in, somebody else eats it away, and then it goes somewhere else. And so many so-called relief projects, all person who was supposed to, as I mentioned before, Krishna is saying there, all these things are not the priority in human life. Unless one turns back and looks, starts finding out his own proper identity, that is what is called success of life, as far as Krishna is concerned. All other things are, you have done something in Rajogunam, under the mode of nature you have acted, you have done something and you are gone, that's all. Nothing more than that. So, yaval sanjayide kinjil sattvam stavarajangamam kshetra kshetrajna samyogal tadvidhi bharadarshavaham. Then in the next verse, some important verses are coming here. Because these verses will make us to think that what is expected of us in Krishna's world. What is expected of us? So, samampa sarvesha bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalso vinashyandam yapashyadi sapashyadi. Krishna says here that the vision of a person who has accepted all these things, how his reaction will be. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram. He is equally positioned himself with all other living entities. Very, very difficult thing for one to achieve that state of mind, isn't it? Earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, what did he say? What is vidya means? We talked about avidya now. About vidya, what knowledge, what does Krishna say? Krishna says, vidya means, vidya avinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva shobhagecha pandita samadarshinaha. That samadarshitvam, equal vision, he is pandita, Krishna says. Why? Because he has vidya, a knowledge in him. So you can see the difference of vidya and avidya in relationship with the material knowledge. They are two different things. Vidya and avidya is different. So vidya vinaya sampanni, One who has vidya, he is vinaya sampannan. That means he has got extreme humility in him. Why? Because vidya brings the understanding samam sarveshu bhudeshu. All living entities are equal. There is no one different. One is higher or lower than the other. Because in all living entities, tishtanti parameshwaram, Krishna is situated within every living entity as the super soul along with the jiva, the living entity. So where is the difference? Actually, if you want to understand this, you have to, in the Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, what is known as Hamsa Giga. If you study that chapter, you will know how Krishna made it very clear to the four Kumaras. Four Kumaras who have reached the topmost knowledge of self-realization, they have asked a question to Lord Brahma in there. And in answer to that, Krishna says there that when Krishna arrived there in the form of a swan, they were asking him, who are you? That was the question. Krishna says, your answer itself is wrong. Because if you ask somebody, who are you? In relationship with body, if you are asking, that has no meaning. Because the same material what is used for making your body is the same material what is used for making my body as well. Isn't it? So same five material elements in my body as well as your body. So asking that question has no meaning. They says to them, first, that question also has no meaning. Now secondly, if you take from the spiritual point of view, if you ask the question that on the spiritual platform, if you have asked that question, Krishna's answer was that, where is the difference? It is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, is situated in every living entity. Even from that point of view, where is the difference, he says. So either from spiritual point of view or from the material point of view, if you ask this question, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Bhavihastini. That is from that equal vision comes to a living entity. Living entity reaches that platform of vision, which is referred to in the earlier chapter also, as well as in this chapter, Krishna is talking about that. Pandita Samadarshinaha. That Samadarshitvam, equal vision in every living entity, to see that the Supreme Personality is present in every living entity. Every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. When will that realization come? That is the question, isn't it? And this is what Krishna is referring to as knowledge. Those who have got this vision, Krishna says, he is in knowledge. Others not. Not that someone who is separating everyone all the time and creating as much division as possible in the whole society due to his higher vision. He is not in knowledge. He is only causing disturbances in the society. It always happens. Because these are the people who divide the people further and further and further. Divide them, divide them, divide them. And create more and more havoc in the society. So that is not advanced understanding. That is why Krishna is saying here, samam sarveshu bhudeshu. Equally he is able to see every living entity. Why? Tishtandam parameshwaram. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is present in every living entity. And vinashyalso vinashyandam yapashyadi sapashyadi. And with that understanding, once it comes to him, what is happening to him is that Veda Buddhi, that start thinking that somebody is higher and somebody is lower. All this foolish understanding will go from that mind and he will start accepting that, yes, Krishna is present in every living entity as a super soul. The living entity is is watched and witnessed by Krishna's presence, and it is that is what the vinashyasu vinashyandam, and all that the ignorance is destroyed at that time, avidya is gone. Yapashyari, sapashyari, one who sees that, he is actually seeing, Krishna says. In other words, today what we say we are seeing is actually in Krishna's eyes it's not seeing. What we are seeing is the senses are bringing some information to us. Eyes are seeing and we take that as the truth. The nose is smelling, we take that as the truth. And fortunately, Krishna has only created five senses. Krishna could have created another five senses in different things, isn't it? Because he has created only five, we only know those five. That's what it is today. But had Krishna has created more senses, like smell, touch, sense, and touch, sense of touch, tasting, and hearing, he could have created more senses in the same way. Fortunately, he has done only five. So we are thinking that these five senses are the one what we perceive as the truth. But Krishna says that has nothing to do with the truth. The truth is, samam pashyam hi samam sarveshu bhudeshu. When that is realized by an individual, by a living entity, Krishna says, Yapashyadi, sapashyadi. He is seeing. Otherwise, he is not seeing anything. So, when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, what you have to remember is this, that the knowledge is beyond our mundane calculations, mundane understanding. It is taking us to a spiritual conception of life, where everything is based on a spiritual platform. Everything is on a spiritual platform. And spirituality is the whole thought behind the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. It is not meant to advance our sensual understanding of things. Everything what Krishna has spoken is purely based on a spiritual platform. It has no relevance to our senses and knowledge acquired through senses. It has no relevance to that. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita you will find Krishna talks about anything which is meant for advancing our material body's interest. Material body's interest. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita you will find only with one goal, to elevate the soul further, to elevate, to advance the soul further in its possession. So you have to see all these things from that point of view. That then, vinashyalsa vinashyandam yapashyari sapashyari. And when that is destroyed, that vision which is coming from the senses, and proper vision, in other words, when one's knowledge side, or the jnanam, or jnana chakshusa as it is called sometimes, then that is open, his vision also changes, and then he is seeing properly, Krishna says. Otherwise, he is not even seeing properly. Vinashyalsa vinashyandam yapashyari sapashyari. Whatever he sees is proper at that time. Otherwise his vision is not proper. So once it so happened that one great personality, he endeavored very hard in spiritual life. Sometimes people, you will notice, there are not many like that. There are very few in that way. But they are ugra sadhagas. Sadhaga means one who performs very severe sadhana. They are called ugra sadhaga. One who performs sadhana is called sadhaga. And one who perform very extreme sadhana is called ugra sadhaga. So sometimes you have this ugra sadhaga. They have from their previous life or due to certain specific reasons, they become very committed to spiritual life. They take to it very seriously. Not the type of people I was discussing before, who in the Ramchandra's time and Krishna's time. These are a different category of people. So these personalities, when they become intensely searching for the truth, they will engage in sadhana. They will engage in sadhana. And they will devote a lot of their time for spiritual life. They have very little time for inquiring about other things. No family interest, no social interest, and no other material interest virtually. Just satisfied with the minimum things needed for the body. And they are satisfied and they are willing to devote rest of their time in search for the truth. So such commitment people have sometimes. Rarely you find that. These are the personalities who go very fast in the spiritual life. So one such instance, one person has developed this attitude towards other living entity due to his progressive state in spiritual life. He started realizing that living entities are all part and parcel of Krishna. And also he had learned that it is wrong for me to discriminate between them, that one is superior and one is inferior. It's very difficult for us to get that, isn't it? What to talk about animals and birds? Animals and birds we reject totally. Even human beings we don't get that. Isn't it? That thought we don't come to us very easily. We also make calculations in our mind when we see someone. Oh, who is he after all? We make some judgment about everyone, isn't it? That's human nature. We say human nature, but that's what Krishna is talking about here. That we also start judging others only on their different social conditions, material positions. Someone is very wealthy, is offered all respects. Someone who is poor, we think, oh, he's poor, we can live with, nothing is going to happen. These things happen in life, everywhere you go. In all places, all this is what happens, what goes on. Similarly, when a wealthy person is respected, or as someone with high intelligence or high beauty or so many different qualities, those things are given priority over others, things like that. So, samam pashyam hi sarvatra, first of all, within human society, we are not able to reconcile with the fact that there is so much differences in the living entity. But a person who has realized through Bhagavad Gita, the who has advanced spiritually, he will come out of this kind of conceptions or perceptions, and he will start seeing that when, if you remember that verse earlier, yadyad vibhudimat sattvam mama tejomsha sambhavam, I think it was in the 9th chapter in the Ajayogam, Krishna said, whenever you see something sparkling in some person, an intelligent person will see that it is me who is there sparkling through that person. Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam, yadyad vibhudimat sattvam, what does that verse say in the 9th chapter? Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam. Mama tejo amsha sambhavam. Krishna says there, isn't it? Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam. Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam. Sova murjidam evava. Tatta devava gacchattvam. Mama tejo amsha sambhavam. Krishna says, that comes from me. And that vision will not happen very easily. Krishna says there. And when one has come to that, this samam sarveshu bhudeshu will come to that person. Krishna says here that this samam sarveshu bhudeshu, once samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalso vinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. So this person whom I was referring to, he has developed this vision to a large degree. To a large degree he has developed. Because of that, he also felt very comfortable with other living entities. That's what happens. When this consciousness is built up inside, then you are comfortable with the rest of the world. Why are we disturbed in this world often with other people? Because we have in our own mind made certain categorized people in different levels, isn't it? We consider someone as high, someone as low. If one has developed that vision of as a part and parcel of Krishna in every living entity, then that won't happen to him, because he'll feel more relaxed about it. Because after all, it is Krishna's presence in a living entity that shows mama tejomsha sambhavam. Krishna says it's my own splendor. It's from the spark of my splendor, Krishna says. It's nothing but a spark of my splendor. So when some greatness is observed in any great personality, Krishna says you should see it as a spark of my splendor. It is in the Vibhuti Yogam, in the 10th chapter, not in Raja Yogam. It's there where Krishna says, all after discussing all the opulences, all the Vibhutis, Krishna says like this, whenever you see, yadyad vibhudimat sattvam, wherever in anyone, when you see anything extraordinary, which you have not seen anywhere else, you should consider that mama tejomsha sambhavam, it has come from me. So this person, samam sarveshu bhudeshu, where he is already seeing that is the person Krishna is referring to here. He is already seeing in every living entity that spark, Krishna's spark present there. So this person has developed that, and even to such a person he can fall from that. When such things happen to a person, his concern for material life is not anymore existing. He is not concerned by the material life anymore. It does not disturb him anymore. Because the reason is this, then all our difficulties, and not only difficulties, all our experiences in this world has made us to think to protecting the material body as the top priority, isn't it? Because we love the material body so much. But when we freely, with the presence of Bhagavad Gita, when we start feeling relaxed with it, relaxed in the sense that material body's purpose is only that much, that it only can be used for advancing spiritually. That's all it is. Apart from that, it is not much use to anybody. Whatever we miss. Otherwise, you can gratify the senses. That's all. But gratification of senses is not the goal. So that's already rejected. So one who has come to the human consciousness, where one realizes, if you reject sense gratification, what else can be done with this human body? What is the use of this human body? There's only one good use it can put into, that is for advancing spiritual path. And for advancing in the spiritual life, what is required is that material body requires a certain degree of maintenance. And that is why all the processes will maintain, will make it so simple that the body doesn't drop off easily, and it can help you in that function of self-realization. In order to help that, it's created like that, in that way. And that is all Krishna says is expected of us as far as bodily maintenance is concerned. Krishna is not saying to us that you should have such a 24 hours run to the gym or swim or do this, do that. So many things what we have saying that, no, oh, I am doing all this for my spiritual life, Prabhu. I have to go for every day to the gym. I have to go and play tennis every day. I have to go and play badminton, or I have to swim an hour every day so that I can do my spiritual life properly. Krishna is never spoken like that. Krishna says material body requires maintenance. Without body you can't do anything. But at the same time, that bodily concept should not be allowed to increase further than what is already there. It's already enough there, the identity with the body. So better not to increase it, Krishna says, that one should minimize the activities in that direction. So having said that, this person who has come to advance in that path, he decided to go to the forest to take further from there, because he realized it that more focusing on the presence of the soul within the body, and he wanted to perform penances and austerities and free himself from the, and fearlessness has come to him from this advancement in the spiritual life. So while sitting in meditation in the forest, what happened was, he was just observing there, and he saw a frog sitting right in front of him, not a few yards away from him. In meditation he looked at the frog, and in the frog, and he realized that in his present capacity, his material needs were not a big problem anymore. He was able to manage with little things, whatever that was available in the forest. And sometimes he was also receiving the supply through unknown sources. Many, many great personalities will vouch for this, that they, in their spiritual life, they never took a serious concern about maintenance of themselves or their followers, or whoever they were associating with, or their ashrams, or anything. There was not a concern for them, because they knew if it has to come, it will come. If I am situated properly, if I am following Krishna's instructions properly, it will come. That was their approach in this, because they were so elevated in their position. So this person was like that, so everything was coming to him natural way. Everything was getting, minimum necessities were met. He was not making a lot of money or anything, but all his bodily needs were met. But while sitting and observing this frog, he noticed that the frog has caught on one fly, and it was eating that fly. At that time this thought came to him, oh, the frog is eating the fly. After all, I should not be feeling compassion for the fly because the frog is eating. Because it is nature's arrangement is the fly is meant for the frog to eat. Why should I interfere in that? This is how he thought himself. Right? For that moment he thought himself like that. And then in the next moment a snake comes and eats this frog. When he saw that, he didn't like it. Only a minute ago he was able to discriminate and think. He did not feel anxiety about the fly so much. He felt compassion. He didn't feel so much compassion for the fly. But the mind was such, as soon as the snake ate the frog, he started feeling compassion for the frog. And it is by chance a peacock comes and eats the snake. So see four things in a sequence. Keep looking at them. There's a fly, there's a frog, there's a snake, and now the last one, peacock. So it so happened, as soon as the peacock ate the snake, it came out from his mouth, "You deserve it," he said. So where is that samam sarveshu bhuteshu? That is gone. Escape for a second like that. And the result of that was, he lost that position. That balance of mind, he lost it for a second. And he really recognized it after a while, how foolish he was. That he had to think like this, that why should I interfere in nature's law? That frog was meant to be, the fly was meant to be the food for the frog, as much as the frog was meant to be the food for the snake, as much as the snake was meant to be the food for the peacock. They all are each other. Krishna's creation is such, Om Purnamadam. That's why Ishavasyam Upanishad begins with this. What does Ishavasyam says? Ishavasyam says like this. Purnamada Purnamida Purnat Purnam Udachade Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyade. That everything that Krishna has created is Purnam, is complete in itself. It doesn't require our tampering with it. We don't have to change. We have so much concern about this world when we are not concerned about ourselves, what's going to happen to us after 15, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is. But we are planning over the next century what will happen in this planet. We won't be here, but we are concerned about that very much. And we make such plans in this world, and some of the big brains are working behind it. Remember that. That they are sitting in big offices and making big plans how to protect this planet, because they think if they don't do their work, this planet may collapse one day. So all these kind of illusion, Krishna is saying, has to go. Because this is why these things are pointed out in Bhagavad Gita, to make us aware what's our role in this. Our role is not to maintain the planet. That is not in our role. Our role is to act according to what Krishna says. That is our role. And Krishna is saying here, Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu. That is what is expected. Tishtandi Parameshwaram Vinashyalsa Vinashyandam Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. As far as Krishna is concerned, he is the only person who is seeing. Nobody else is seeing. That's what Krishna is saying. Nobody else is seeing. Everybody else is seeing. Krishna is seeing something. Whatever his senses are seeing, that's it. As far as Krishna is concerned, others are all blind. So, in the Mahabharatam, these things are a little bit more strongly emphasized. Because in Bhagavad Gita, obviously, Bhagavad Gita, it didn't happen so much. Because Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taken the cream out of the Upanishads and puts it into Arjuna, because of the limited amount of time in the battlefield. And what was required for Arjuna to know, Krishna has spoken there. But in Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi brings it out a lot more in depth for us to know, in order that human society, Mahabharatam was written, and 125,000 verses through which Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us that this is what there is nothing what is not in Mahabharatam. That is the beauty of Mahabharatam. That Mahabharatam is saying to us like this, that there is a statement like this, that you may have heard about this statement in many instances. Also in the Bhagavatam we have spoken about that, where it says that if a person acts wrongly at home for the benefit of the whole family, you have to get that person thrown out, isn't it? But to get that person, suppose someone has become very disturbing at home and in a family life, somebody becomes very disturbing and he is not willing to take any instructions, nor is he willing to observe the law or the rules of the house, and becomes really a headache, then Mahabharatam is saying that you should throw him out from the house. Okay. After that it says that if a family becomes a disturbance in the whole society, if a family becomes a disturbance, you should get rid of that family from there. It says like that. Then it says, after that, if a village becomes a problem for a state, if a village becomes a problem for a state, you should get rid of that village. You should get rid of that village. We don't need that village. If it becomes a problem for the state. But if a state becomes a problem for the whole world, Mahabharatam says, you should destroy that state. You don't need that state. Because for the existence of all the rest of the rest of the world, you should get rid of that. But at the end Vedavyas is saying there, if in order to save the soul, if you have to destroy, even you have to give up this whole planet, you should do that. Such is the stress on self-realization given in Mahabharatam, which is Krishna has also spoken here. That the saving the soul from in this human life and to get it to its original position as Krishna's servant, that is the whole objective of existence. So gradually it says that in order to save the soul, you have to even give up your whole world. You have to give up if it's necessary. Now, what has happened is, this was spoken to make us understand the importance of self-realization. That is why it was spoken like that. But people started saying, oh no, 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 you are doing wrong things, so you should be thrown out from the house. The priority shifted. The stress in this whole statement is the stress on self-realization. In order to stress self-realization, all the other things were spoken. To give the weightage to this important point, what Vedavyas is saying, that protecting the soul and spiritual life is the topmost priority. To stress that point, Vedavyas spoke in that way. But what happened? People misunderstood and started saying that this family is a problem for this whole society. Let's get rid of them from here. Or this village is a problem, or this country is a problem. All that we have taken seriously. But the last most important thing, we don't want even to look into that direction. Is it not? Is that not the truth? So, that is what I am saying, that when we take things from the Shastram, when we start looking at it, we should also understand what is the essence, what's the message from that. Message is this: Krishna has again and again stressed this point in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this knowledge, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if it does not kindle that light inside to go for spiritual life and to advance in the spiritual path, then everything is useless as far as Krishna is concerned. Everything else is useless. That's what he is saying here. And such personalities who have, there were great people like that in this world, who had that understanding and who had that equal vision in this world, they have lived here at different times. Not only in India, everywhere else in the world, people have lived like that. There are personalities who have lived. All that they received from the world was distress, nothing else. All they received in this world was distress. That Prabhupada discussed about Socrates once. Socrates' life is discussed sometimes, the philosophy of Socrates. Socrates was a self-realized person. He has realized himself in that way, that he understood that many of the things what we are reading in the Bhagavad Gita, he already has realized them. But what did this world offer him at the end? What did we offer him? This world rejected him. Socrates' life is very interesting. If you have read Socrates' life, you will see there some of the things what happened to Socrates. Socrates, once, he was so absorbed that nobody could tell him that he is going to be killed. He would not accept it. He said there is no question anybody could kill him. Even when he was condemned to death in the prison he had to go, even then gladly he walked in, accepted that. He had no difficulty. Because as far as he is concerned, you don't die. You don't die. That was so clear in his head. And in one instance, what happened was, Socrates was a great philosopher, wasn't he? He was a very great philosopher. So often, he used to have a lot of people used to come to him to discuss philosophy. Different philosophies, he used to discuss with them. Although he was an impersonalist, he has not gone beyond that understanding, but still this basis was very much in him, that he accepted that death doesn't happen. It is a foolish thing to think that we die. And not only these very words of Socrates is in the Bhagavadam, in the 12th canto, in the 5th chapter. If you read, look at it, what does Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj while leaving? Sukadeva Goswami walks out after speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. Parikshit says to him, there's only 9 or 10 verses in that one chapter, 5th chapter in the Bhagavatam. If you look at there, you will see there, Sukadeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, give up this Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi means animals thinking that you are going to die. You don't die. And with those words, Sukadeva Goswami left the scene. With that, realization came to Parikshit at that point. He doesn't die. He realized that at that point. Tatshaka has not beat him by then yet. So you can see from there, people, personalities like Sukadeva Goswami had the capacity to instill that concept into Parikshit's mind. In Socrates' case, it was different. Socrates was a personality who has accepted this very much and he has come to terms with it. So in one instance, Socrates had many, many students all the time with him. And Socrates used to discuss with them these different sides of the philosophy with them. So one day his wife got so fed up with him. with his whole philosophy. Wife was not so much absorbed in the philosophy. She kept on telling him to do some things at home, just like the normal instructions comes from the wife and husband starts doing. So the same thing was going on there. Socrates had no time for anything. He was so busy. He was so busy in discussing this philosophy with the students. So the wife got so fed up. What did she do? She said, this man is not going to hear anything what I am saying. He's so absorbed in his philosophy. He went and brought a whole big jug of water and threw it on his head. Just threw it on his head. When she threw it on his head, Socrates looked and said, I knew this, he said. I knew when the thunder started that it is going to rain. This was the answer. That is philosophy. That is philosophy. Philosophical understanding. He said, when she started speaking, the thunder started. And I knew the rain will come. And the rain has come now. See? Why? Because he was not disturbed. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu. That is Socrates. It was a personality like that. One day, some of his students came to know that he is going to be poisoned. You see? He's going to be poisoned. So they all went up to him. A group of them went up to him. And they thought, if Socrates had some last desire after death, how he wants to be created. How he wants to be created. These ideas came to their mind, and they wanted to ask Socrates how he wants to be cremated. How he wants to be cremated. So Socrates looked at them. The authorities have decided to finish him up by poisoning him, because lot of things what he was saying was not acceptable to the authorities. Actually, authorities are always like that. Authorities doesn't accept anything easily. So authorities were rejecting him. And the followers were thinking, maybe he's going to die anyway, so let us ask him what he would like, how he would like his ceremony to be conducted after death. You see, how the ceremony is to be conducted after death. And whatever wishes he has, they wanted to fulfill for him. Socrates said to them that those who have decided to kill me, or those people like you who wants to assist me after I leave this body, neither of you are my friends, he said to them. They are both are in the same animals, he said. They are not much different. Because they are thinking that they can kill me. Another bodily concept of ignorance. Those who are trying to kill me. Like you, who thinks that you will actually cremate me in the way you want me to be cremated, because I already left this body and I am gone. What do I care for this body? This was Socrates' attitude. So you are also as bad as they are, he said to them. You are not much different between your attitude is equally the bad, equally bad, he said. There's not much difference between you two. The authorities who wants to poison me, or you who wants to cremate me the way you are. When I leave this body, what does it matter, he said. What is so important in this? What's so great about it? That was Socrates. So such personalities existed in this world, but they were never recognized, because ordinary people do not have the intelligence to recognize these things. They won't see. Ordinary people is the one I'm referring to, those. We talked about Ramchandra's time, Krishna's time, Prabhupada's time, all times. They're always there, fulfilling their understanding. But they are not able to do anything about it, because there's the understanding going beyond than that. So this very same Socrates, when he had to give up his body, that very night, hemlock poison, I think that was what was offered to him. And Socrates knew in a few hours he has to leave. And at that time he heard some music coming from next door in the prison. Some nice song that was coming. Somebody was playing in a violin or something. Socrates goes up to him and tells him, can you teach me that? He says. So he knows already Socrates is going to be killed in a few hours. And Socrates is asking, can you teach me that thing? He says. So that person says to him, that why you asking this question? You are very stupid. You're going to be killed in a few hours. You're coming to me asking me. Socrates says to him, you don't understand, he said. They think they can kill me. Do you think they can kill me? I am living today here in this body. And I would like to enjoy it, what you are playing there. Let me enjoy it today, right at this moment. What will happen tomorrow, it doesn't bother me about it. You think they can kill me? This was his question. They can never kill me. He said, he held on to that till the last minute. So such realizations comes to people at some time in great personalities. It can happen anywhere. There was this personality in Italy, I think Galilei. He spoke about this, the movement of the planets and everything. And he was tortured for that. The authorities won't accept. They say he's only upsetting the whole Shastra, the scriptures. So they start questioning him. But he had his own reason. His whole lifetime he had spent on these observations, and the knowledge he had was far superior to what the authorities had. So in that case he gets into trouble. So this type of situations do happen in this world. And Krishna is saying here that from these verses you can see, samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandi parameshwaram vinashyasa vinashyandam yapashyari sapashyari, that samam pashyari, that equal vision in all circumstances, Krishna says, is important. And next verse also the same verse is spoken, samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram mahinasti atmana atmanam tato yati parangadim. Krishna says here that one who has come to that stage, samam pashyan hi sarvatra, earlier he says samam sarveshu bhudeshu, that was the last verse, but in this verse Krishna says samam pashyan hi sarvatra, when one has started seeing like that all over in all circumstances, samavastidam ishwaram, Krishna is situated in every living entity equally, when one has come to that platform, mahinasti alpana alpanam tato yadi parangadim, then he will naturally, his spiritual realization will be complete at that point, that all the other ignorance that was covering the soul or covering his consciousness in not properly perceiving the spiritual identity, that is already vanished at that point from him. This is what Krishna is pointing out. Samam pashyan hi sarvatram samavastidam ishwaram mahinasti atmanalpanam tato yadi parangadim. For him, material existence is completely gone anymore. It doesn't exist. So from these verses, in these verses, Krishna is pointing to us that the steps in which when one advances on the spiritual path, what realization one gets into. This is what he is saying. That first, samam sarveshu bhudeshu, in everything, equal, all living entities seeing them as equal. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra, in everything seeing the oneness, in everything that samavastitam ishwaram, Krishna is situated in every living entity. When this kind of realization has come to him, Krishna is saying here that his intelligence is developed properly, or in his knowledge is also proper. That Krishna pointing out this one thing only for one reason, that normally when we say suicide, isn't it? We say suicide. Suicide refers to, actually we say, we give up the body, isn't it? We want to give up the body. Why do we want to give up the body? We want to give up the body because in this material body we are not experiencing any happiness anymore, which we are presently occupied with. Material body is not giving us any happiness anymore. We are not experiencing the happiness, and the result is that we want to take action to find that happiness. So when a stage comes in life when there is no more happiness in this world, or completely come to the understanding that I have identified with the body totally, first thing. That is the first mistake. Identified with the body. That's number one. Secondly, through the body I was trying to enjoy the world. That's also failed. When these two things happen, the next thing is you want to leave the body. And that is when the suicide happens. Bodily suicide it happens. Krishna says that is not so important. That is only happened because the happiness you are looking in the wrong place through the body. That is where Krishna says You are entitled for happiness. But that happiness has to come from the soul, not from the body. So that is one mistake. Secondly, because you did not realize your identity as spirit soul, falsely you have identified with the body. That's the second mistake. So two mistakes at the same time. One, looked for happiness in the wrong place, in the body. Secondly, identified wrongly with the body. In both ways, Krishna says, when these things happen, you are actually killing yourself. And that is, Krishna calls it as killing the soul. Krishna doesn't call it as killing the body. Krishna doesn't care about the body. Body, Krishna knows, you'll get another body is ready for you straight away. There's no dearth of body, material body in this world. 8.4 million, so much variety. Like a supermarket, you can shop there as much as you want. There is no shortage of that. But what is important, Krishna is saying here, is that this understanding that everything in ignorance we are acting, we have to recognize that. We are working not for spiritual realization. We have turned our back towards the soul, with who is situated within us. That Paramatma inside, who is showing us the right direction, we have rejected him, ignored him. We are active in this very world to correct so many things so that one day this world will become heaven. With that idea in the head we are working. And one day everything will be alright, and one day will never come. That we all know, that one day is not going to come. Prior to that, this man will go from this one day world. So that is where the mistake has already started from there. Apart from that, Krishna is also saying here, if you don't take my words very seriously, it can happen in life. A situation can happen that you may even give up your body, not able to find pleasure in this body. Just see how much deep the whole understanding is about the spiritual identity of the individual. And we do not take Bhagavad Gita seriously. We think that Bhagavad Gita is something, some chapter we understand. Krishna says you have to do karma, so I'll go and work morning to night and like an ass, and then and at the end when death comes, I'm thrown into the hospital. At that time, Krishna will come to help me. No, Krishna says, why is he giving all this knowledge to us? He says, if you take these things seriously, then Krishna says, in this very life, liberation can happen. It doesn't have to happen after death. Many people, we don't know where we will go at the end. Who has the guarantee that at the death, I will go back to spiritual world? Very fact is that if one does not realize oneself within this life here, Krishna says, mukti is here, liberation is here in this world by this process. And that is the goal what Krishna wants us to achieve at the end. That the goal of self-realization and goal of realizing it here, within, right in this body. All these things will discuss Krishna later in the Agastya Skandam, much more in detail, very beautifully presenting to us Krishna's very precise analysis of this human body and a precise understanding of what is the connection between the soul and the body, what happens to the soul when the soul is released from this bondage of the material elements and the subtle elements. So that is how we go out of this bodily concept of life. As I mentioned before, in this 13th chapter, what is discussed is all about self-realization. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss next Sunday.